Well, hi everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Born to Talk radio show. And I'm very excited to have a returning guest on my show today. Her name is Heidi Huebner. She is the Public Information Director for the PUP, P-U-P, and VIP programs for Los Angeles World Airports, which we all call LAX. And I'm just delighted to have her back. So welcome back, Heidi.
Hi, Marcia. Thank you. I am so happy to be back on your show.
Oh, it's great. And for those people that may have, and it was a couple of years ago, I went back and looked at it. It's been a while. So for those folks that may have missed that show, why don't you just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
I will. So I am from Kansas City originally. That's where I grew up. And I then went to Chapman University, where I had I studied and have a BA in communications with a PR emphasis, and also a dance minor. So my very first professional career used to be performing. I was touring, dancing, and singing in a lot of different shows all over the world, and it was fantastic. But there comes a time when you gotta hang your dance shoes up. And animals have always been in my life and in my world since I was born. And it's just interesting how throughout that, having my own pets, but also where I was traveling, would find strays and find them homes. And fast forward to what I do now, working with our therapy dogs, it just seems like this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing.
Isn't it great when you, I'm putting my fingers up like you could see me, but I'm saying the word purpose. When you find that you've, I mean, that wasn't that dancing wasn't a purposeful thing, but when you just have this love and this purpose, there's just nothing better. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. And I thought we could start off by having you just share with people the responsibilities, because there are a lot of them, that you have at LAX.
Thank you. So I oversee our volunteer division, which is part of the guest services division at the airport. So I have some folks that I work with who are actually employees of the airport. And then I also have our volunteer groups. So we have our PUP program, our VIP program, the LAX Cedar program. And these are all volunteer programs. So we have anything, if you're looking to volunteer your time with your dog, if you love helping people wayfinding, that's what the VIPs do at the information booth. And then the LAX Cedar program is for junior volunteers, for students that are trying to complete community service hours or are interested in the field of aviation or what it would be and what does it look like to work for an airport. So that's what I oversee and manage.
I see. It sounds like a lot of responsibilities. And so you've got these programs, and we've got ample time to really dive deep into these programs, because I really want to talk about all of them. And we're going to come back to the LAX Cedar a little bit later into the show. But I think that it's important that you mentioned that you're in charge of the VIP program. What exactly does the VIP program do? What does that program consist of?
VIP stands for Volunteer Information Professionals.
Okay.
And I have been working with them. It's been since 2010.
Okay.
I can't believe that. I just thought about that. I'm like, is that what, 15 years if we're 2025 now?
Right.
Wow. So those volunteers were the original volunteers at the airport. And actually, there was an outside organization that was managing them. And then the city wanted to have everything done in-house. And I was the lucky person that applied and got that job, because I have also managed volunteer programs for animal services, and where I had 800 volunteers at 6 city shelters. So this was a great fit for me. And again, my purpose, I love working with people. I love, you know, coordinating and working with volunteers. So, you know, I am grateful every day that that happened. Their job, they're at the information booths at all of our terminals in baggage claim. And they're there to help wayfind, to answer questions, and everything in between.
So they're just a baggage claim.
Correct.
I see. I didn't realize that. Okay. Okay.
And, you know, people, LAX, while I think I love our airport and I think it is very easy to navigate the horseshoe. I've traveled and been to a lot of airports, which I find confusing. Mm-hmm. But again, if you're traveling for the first time and dropping somebody off, maybe you're not quite sure and they've been dropped off at the wrong place and they find our volunteers and they're able to guide them to the correct terminal and, you know, are they departures or arrivals? And it, you know, it happens a lot. You know, traveling can be stressful and they are there just to relieve any of those anxieties that people may have.
I think that's great. And I think you're right about that. You know, my husband always used to say, you know, you don't know what you don't know. So if you are familiar with your airport at LAX, which is right around the corner from where I live, or you're familiar with your airport in San Francisco or Chicago, then you're familiar with your airports. But when you are traveling and you're looking for your luggage and you don't understand because it was a connection, and it's like, well, where did my luggage go? You know, I checked my luggage but I also carried on my luggage, and I can see where, you know, those things can be very stressful. I can appreciate that can be very stressful. So having people that are there to assist that, I can see speaks a lot about the airport and the way it's managed. And I think that that's phenomenal. Really, I do.
Thank you. And my volunteers, they love it. They are, you know, I say I was born to do what I do, and they were all that customer service, appreciating customers, wanting to help, just that good, kind heart. That's who they all are.
Right. It's funny because I just thought of a couple of people that I had forgotten used to volunteer there. I don't know if they still do, and we can talk about off the air, but I remember there are some people here in Westchester where I live that actually work that those VIP booths. That's very interesting. Let's talk about the PUP program because, oh my God, I love this. So let's let our listeners know, what does PUP stand for?
PUP stands for Pets Unstressing Passengers.
Right. And are you the person that actually created that program?
I am.
Wow.
This is my baby. This is my legacy. In 2010, when I was hired to work in the volunteer division and reboot and reestablish the VIP program, it just made sense to have therapy dogs because they have them at hospitals, they have them at schools. I actually had a nonprofit where I had therapy dog programs that would go to those places. So this was nothing new to me. Mm-hmm. And when upper management wanted to expand our guest services and to help people, I said, oh my gosh, we have to have a therapy dog program here. And they were like, what does that look like? And I put pen to paper and put it all together. And they gave us their blessing. And, you know, ever since, it is the joy of all joy for me. I love going to work every day. Mm. And, you know, I get to work with dogs. What can be better with that? Yeah.
So was it 2013 that the program actually initiated officially?
Correct. So we launched on tax day, April 15th. 2013, but in 2012 is when we started fleshing everything out.
I see.
And the question was, who's going to hold insurance? What if something happens?
Oh,
the
right.
Airport does not want to take responsibility. And so Alliance of Therapy Dogs is the group that we partner with.
I see.
And they are a nationwide and international organization that certify and register therapy dogs. So they are covered and the airport is covered when they are working.
Right. God forbid a dog bites somebody. You don't want to be sued. And the airport certainly doesn't want to be sued. So here you are. You say you've always, were you with Pets and Pals?
Yes.
That's what I thought. Was that a nonprofit?
That was a nonprofit.
Yes.
It was actually Pals to Pets. And then did Kids and Pets.
Yeah.
Where we were doing humane education at schools.
That's, you know, Heidi, I forgot knowing that because we go back some years, and I think that that's kind of how I might have even learned about you. That's very interesting. That's what I thought. So anyway, moving forward to where we are. So what do you think was the actual inspiration for starting this PUPS program?
Well, the airport just wanting to... What can we do to bring warm and fuzzy? What can we do more of? And, you know, therapy dogs are it. They, you know, there is scientific proof and in medical journals how animals can lower blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
They can help with anxiety. They can reduce stress. So, you know, that's the proof. And we see the proof every single day. Our dogs and volunteers are out in the airport. And just so our listeners know, so the VIPs are at the information booth baggage claim. Our therapy dogs, the pups, are behind screening. So they are in the gated area. So when you are waiting to get on your flights, that's where we are.
I see. You know, isn't that interesting? So remind me, because I really don't remember. You do not walk around where the passengers are getting ready to board the craft.
We do.
Oh, you do. Okay.
That's where we are. Correct.
Okay. That is what I thought. So, it sounds like this has been something that's been very important to you. And I'm just wondering, you mentioned how much you love dogs. I happen to have a cat, which I also love, but I don't think, well, she's my therapy. Let's put it that way. When she lays on my lap.
There you go.
There you have it. And I think it does reduce my anxiety at times. What is your background with dogs? Because it sounds like you have an extensive background with dogs.
Again, growing up with dogs and
yes.
just and cats and a horse and a goat. I didn't live on a farm. I lived in the city, but I was always rescuing whoever needed a home. But, you know, just learning from my parents and how they treated our animals. And then I actually worked, which was the best experience, at a doggy daycare.
Oh.
And that was really learning behaviors of dogs, watching them in pack mentalities, learning how to break up fights, scooping poop, you know, cleaning mm-hmm. the floors. If there was a dog that was, you know, feeling anxious or it was just too much, you know, taking them in a quiet space and working with them. And then animal services, working with all of the shelter dogs. And that's a different level of stress because, you know, so many of them have been abandoned and, you know, just for whatever reason, if their families can't keep them, taken to the shelters. So that's a very stressful situation for them. And then our volunteers there and trainers, you know, learning all of that, how to handle dogs, you know, brought me to, this is what I'm supposed to do. So
right.
I had the best education because I don't train our dogs. They actually have to come to me knowing basic obedience, having good manners. What I look for, is it the right fit?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't train a dog to be a therapy dog. It just has to be in them.
I see.
Something they have to want to do.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I would imagine that the dogs, I don't want to say owner, let's call it parent, that they also have to have a certain personality as well, don't they?
Correct. You know, you will have passengers crying. Maybe they're traveling for a reason that's not so pleasant, or they're very, very anxious, just having a bad day. So I say sometimes the dog is the conduit to that human interaction that they actually need. So, you know, the volunteers, you know, listening and just being there for them and sometimes hugging them. You know, sometimes somebody's sitting on the floor with the dog and they just, you know, need to be there and do nothing but just be present with a smiling face.
Yes. So why do you think this pup program is so important for passengers? You must get feedback.
I do. I never get tired of emails and phone calls or posts on social media that they say, thank you. You know, I met your volunteer and their dog today and it was exactly what I needed. You know, or for happy reasons, people are, you know, had to leave their dogs at home or in doggy daycare and, you know, they are missing their dog. So to, you know, see that dog or somebody maybe who's not allowed to have pets and wherever they live.
Right.
So just that interaction, you know, the dogs are just like, they smile with their eyes. Mm-hmm. A lot of them smile with their mouths and their little wagging tail. How can you
resist
their
tails
that?
If they yeah. have one. Oh, that's funny.
Oh, and I also think too, Marcia, in the day and age that we live in now, with everybody on devices,
yes,
it brings that human connection again, where you're putting your phone down and talking to somebody or asking questions or saying, oh my gosh, I got to show you the picture of my dog. You know, I right. think they'd be great for this, or like, oh my gosh, my dog could never do this, whatever it is. But it's communicating with each other.
You bet. I'm sure that's very much the case. And I love the title. Did you? I think you came up with the title of Pups, right?
I did not. I actually, Len Talon, who is unfortunately no longer with us, worked with us. And when we were coming up with the name, he said, "Pets Unstressing Passengers." And we were like, is unstressing a real word? And it is. And it was like, pup, how perfect.
Yes.
So I'm forever grateful to my buddy, Len.
For sure. So maybe we can talk a little bit more in depth because we have a lot of time to really share this information. So what do the pups do and what does it take to be a pup?
Great question. So, again, the pups are behind screening. The volunteers have their own shift, the day and time and terminal that they work in. And it's a 2-hour shift, but it's all about the dog. So maybe sometimes it's been a really, really super busy day. And the dog after an hour and a half is tired. The volunteer leaves. Sometimes, you know, there can go longer than 2 hours. You know, just it's kind of like us, right? Sometimes we're tired, right. And other times we're go, go, go.
Right.
So they just, where they are located in the terminals, they just wander around. And, you know, most people will see the vest that says pet me mm-hmm. and go, oh my gosh, I can pet this dog.
Right.
And yes, you can. And the one person starts and then it's a chain reaction and everybody else, you know, come. So sometimes they don't even move from the location that they're in. Other times they might be in and out of the gate areas. Again, just depending on the day and how busy the terminal is.
Right. Just to clarify something, because everybody knows definitions in their own world. So when you say behind screening, does that mean I've come to the airport, I've put my whatever, my purse on the conveyor belt, I've gone through, is that called screening, and now I am on the other side, and so now I'm ready to be in the terminal area. Is that what you mean by behind screening?
Correct. So once you've gone through TSA,
uh-huh.
and you're in the terminal, that is where we are.
I see. Okay, that's what I thought. Okay.
Thank you. No, it's good to clarify, because you're right. I have the airport language, and that is not everybody knows that.
Well, did you know something, Heidi? That's part of what I do as a podcaster, because we all have our words that mean things to us, but that doesn't mean like, well, what's a podcast? Is that like something that has seeds in it? You know what I mean? You if you don't know what it is, you don't know what it is. So I like to ask those kinds of questions. I think that what would be very helpful for us to learn, because you would know the answer to this, is we've talked about service dogs. And I think there's something called emotional support animals, and there's therapy dogs. I don't know the difference between the three. What are your dogs? Are your dogs called therapy dogs?
Correct. So our dogs are therapy dogs. And the definition of a therapy dog is the dog that is there for everybody. So these, when you see the dogs at hospitals, at schools, now at airports, senior centers, wherever that is, those are working therapy dogs. And that is their job. And like I was saying earlier, you can't train a dog to want to be a therapy dog. It just has to be in them. So I'm going to backtrack for a second.
Sure.
When I do a meet and greet, so when you had asked, what does it take to be a pup? I have everybody fill out an application. Even if your dog has never done pet therapy before. And then when I get the application, we set up a time to do a meet and greet. And what I'm looking for is when the volunteer and the dog come to my office, that's step one, and they walk in, I'm looking for the dog to want to be greeting myself and my coworkers and wanting to be curious, what's in this room? What's over here? I'm not looking for a shy dog. If I see a dog that's timid walking through the door, that's already a red flag.
Right.
Because if they're not nervous coming into my office, they are going to be extremely nervous walking into a terminal. So once they come in, you know, I'll come up and I'll greet the dog and I'll pet them and, you know, rub their head and kind of, you know, behind their ears and gently touch their ears and tug on their ears a little bit, because passengers will do that. Like big dogs, especially, they just love to, you know, if you could see me, what I'm doing, just kind of like, oh, what a good dog, good dog. and then, you know, kind of petting them all over their body, reaching down for their feet. I'm looking for them to not pull away at all. In case a little kid decides to grab an ear or grab a tail, we don't want the dog to be reactive to that.
Right.
And then once that goes well in the office and I can see, yes, this dog is, you know, happy to be here, we'll go do maybe a 20-minute to 35-minute walk in the terminal, because I want to see, is the, you know, the luggage belt going to be scary?
The noise, right?
Are the crowds of people? Are the noises? Are the food smells? And if the dog is going up and wanting to see people and have people pet them, it's pretty much a sure fit that, yes, they can be a therapy dog.
Sure.
So if that goes well, they have to pass the test with the Alliance of Therapy Dogs, with the Tester Observer, which are tests. Sometimes they'll come back to the airport or at a Home Depot, a medical facility, maybe a park, any busy area. Again, just to make sure that the dog isn't going to have any thing that could startle them or that they're not comfortable with. They pretty much just have to be a well-rounded dog where nothing fazes them. So that's a therapy dog. Now, saying all of that, not every therapy dog is cut out to work at the airport. It just may not be their thing. Maybe they are great doing reading rooms with kids where they're reading, the kids are practicing reading and the dog is just laying in the center of the circle, or visiting one-on-one with, you know, patients at a senior assisted living or whatnot. So for me, what I'm really looking for is the dog going to be able to work at LAX. And again, looking at the volunteer as well. Are they warm and fuzzy? Are they engaging with the people? Are they keeping an eye on their dog? Because that's the thing. You always have to have eyes on the dog. You don't want the dog behind you and somebody's going to trip over the leash.
Right. So that's a therapy dog.
Correct.
So what is a service dog?
Okay. So a service dog is a dog that has a very specific task, whether that is somebody who might be wheelchair bound and the dog can assist grabbing things for them, pulling laundry out of the dryer, a multitude of things. For somebody with, you know, a seen disability or a hidden disability, those are highly trained dogs to do that. And it is a lot of work, a lot of puppy raisers when they're raising the puppies, like for guide dogs and other organizations. Not every dog passes those tests. Right. You know, a lot of them can alert to seizures or to people who have diabetes. Mm-hmm. That's a service dog. A service dog should never, ever be pet by any other person except for their owner or their person. So if somebody ever says, oh, this is my service dog, and they let you pet them, that is false.
Right.
Because that dog's job is to make sure that their person is safe 24/7.
You know, Heidi, I'm going to interrupt you just for a second because I have a friend that used to live here in Westchester with me, and she worked with Guide Dogs of America. And what I learned from her, because we went somewhere together because the dog was training, and she said, people think you can just approach these dogs. And she said, no, this is part of the education process. These are not pets. You do not come up and pet a service dog. They are working dogs. They are on the clock, and they are not to be petted. Have I understood that correctly?
Correct.
Okay. That's what I thought. Okay, so that's really good because, you know, it's another one of those you don't know what you don't know. You're seeing this beautiful golden retriever and it's got a vest on and you don't know it's a service dog, but you don't know what that means and you want to go up and pet it. It's like, oh, no, can't pet my dog. And, you know, that obviously the person walking the dog is going to be polite about this, but they're also going to be very specific. So that's the service dogs.
But the thing, so, Marcia, that is, when we were having all of these issues with people with their quote-unquote service dogs going on planes, a service dog is like a therapy dog, a true service dog that is trained for a task. So they have to be potty trained. They can't bark. I mean, there are many things that therapy dogs are. But again, like you said, specifically for that person. So when people would come on with their fake service dogs, they really were doing a disservice for those people who have true service dogs that they depend on.
Right.
That's a gray area that got very murky, and those people, shame on them.
Yes, I can see that. And then we talked about emotional support animals, ESAs.
Well, yes.
I was not familiar with that term. I don't know what that is.
So an emotional support animal, and these are animals that are for somebody's emotional support, whether that's if somebody has anxiety, maybe it's difficult for them to be in public areas, they have PTSD. It can be a multitude of things. So that animal is for them to help them, but they do not necessarily have to be, they're not trained to have a specific skill set. So that is, and ESA animals can be mini horses, dogs, cats, birds, bunnies. But again, a lot of people abuse that. So a true ESA dog, I'm just going to go back to that.
Sure.
Should be potty trained, should not be aggressive towards other dogs, should not bark at other dogs, should have good manners, and again, only be there for that person. So they should not allow people to pet the dog. Again, it's not a service dog where there are, could be life or death situations that dog is trained to detect, again, like epilepsy or seizures or diabetic attacks. But this is just for the person to be calm, and so they can feel good and secure wherever it is that they're going with this animal. That also became a very gray line traveling when people, you know, you saw the peacock and, you know, other animals trying to get on planes. and I'm not going to say that those animals were not true ESA animals, but it just, it's a gray area.
Okay.
For traveling.
I see. Let's that's interesting. So let's talk about the human animal bond. I know I grew up with dogs, but I didn't grow up with cats, but I've had cats as an adult in my home, and I have a cat that I rescued from adopted from Annenberg, a pet space here in this community, and she's my baby. And so there is a bond between the two of us. She's laying in here. She must have heard me talking about her. So let's talk about that human-animal bond. Are there certain breeds that make better dogs for your program?
No.
Interesting.
We don't discriminate. And again, it's all up to the dog. So we have a Chihuahua. We have pit bulls. We have mixes. We have old dogs, young dogs. We had a tripod. We had a deaf dog, a blind dog. As long as the dog wants to do it and loves doing it and they pass the tests, they're in.
Interesting. You know, it's funny you mentioned pit bulls. Because of where I walk every day, I walk by dog parks, and I also walk by a lot of people walking dogs. And I have a friend that actually works with Angel City Pit Bulls, and talk about a misunderstood breed of dogs. And it's really interesting to observe people with their dogs when they're out in public, whether they're walking, whether they're in a dog park, wherever they might be. And the breeds are also very, very interesting. And I think the pit bulls have really taken a hit, so to speak. Wouldn't you say that people have really misunderstood that breed of dog?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, I say every dog needs a job. What is the dog's job? Is it to be your TV buddy? Is it to be your exercise buddy? Is it to be your getting involved to have a social life, you know, joining activities like agility or, you know, other group get-togethers that include dogs, hiking, whatever that is. You know, there's search and rescue. One of my favorite things are that certain groups are going to shelters, and those busy, 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 busy dogs that, you know, do not want to be in a home because they just simply need a job that makes them think all the time. Mm-hmm. They're starting to pull and train those dogs to be search and rescue. So these dogs that may have been euthanized because they just weren't meant to be living in a home as a family pet have a job. And they're so happy in those jobs.
Yes, it's true. And, you know, it's interesting. Not only, I think everybody learns in a situation like this. Like I said, my kids did not grow up with dogs. They grew up with cats, but it's still a pet in the house. And there's a lot to be learned, particularly because I did grow up with dogs, on how to be that dog person. What are you watching for? What are you looking for? How exciting is it to come home from school and the dog is barking and jumping up and down because its tail is wiggling and it's so happy to see you? You know, there's a lot of joy. And for people, senior citizens that may be lonely, you know, I realize we're I'm digressing a little bit because we're talking about dogs now and we're not talking about your program at the airport. But dogs have always been an important part of your life, and that's kind of where I digress that way. And when you see somebody at the airport that's walking with a service dog, I happen to know somebody that considered doing that at one point. Obviously, this is their dog, and so they are going through classes together. Perhaps you could tell us about how that actually works. What's the program like?
I'm sorry, Marcia, when you said classes,
well,
can you
I meant when your dog becomes a service dog at LAX and is part of the PUP program, there's a whole certification program that they have to go through, correct?
Oh, so not classes, so
I'm sorry,
the test. Yeah. Yep, that's okay. So again, that's going to three different places that are busy and also including a medical hospital. Again, those dogs have to be comfortable in all of those situations in order to pass those tests. I'm going to go backwards and I'm going to go forwards.
Please.
So the other thing too. And it's important because, listen, we're advocating for animals, right? This whole program, we do what we do, but we're also advocating how amazing dogs are mm-hmm. and relationships that they have. And I tell people, when people say, I'm looking for a therapy dog or I want to adopt a dog, you know, you have to think about what that commitment is and what the expenses are. And especially if you're getting a puppy or if you're getting a dog that's older, not older, but like from the shelter that maybe never had obedience training, it's just really important to work with the trainer. There's Zoom room. There are all of these, you know, Petco, PetSmart, all these socialization classes to, because your dog wants to do good. You have to teach the dog, right? Otherwise, he's going to be guessing, what do you want me to do?
Right.
Should I do this? Should I not do this? And doing training with your dog is fun. Mm-hmm. It's fun and you bond with them. So that's just a little a nugget I'm giving to everybody. Both my two dogs now that I'm working with, we're at the Zoom room and it's just fun to watch their brains process things and the aha moment when they get it. And when I get it, because it's consistency, it's all about us being consistent. So, you know, that could be a whole nother show, but
right.
It goes again with the bonding and all of this stuff, no matter what your animal is, you know, cats, I love cats. I love all animals. And, you know, I am a huge advocate, especially if you're not allowed to have a dog in your apartment, go rescue a cat. They're right. Wonderful.
Right. I totally agree with you. And listen, I know people that had parakeets in their homes. So, you know, if it gives you comfort and if you enjoy the conversation or looking at it or just talking to it or whatever, I think actually they didn't have parrot. I knew somebody had a parrot too. But, you know, I think animals enhance our life. And I also think, I know we're stepping away from the pup program, but I also think that animals help teach our children things as well. Don't you agree?
Absolutely.
Yes.
They teach kindness. They teach responsibility, you know, caring. You know, I grew up with animals, so I'm blessed that I did. I think even if I hadn't, though, there is that inside of me that just loves them and would be doing this regardless.
Right. That's great.
And then, Marcia, now I'm going to jump forward to one thing because I don't want to forget about this. But
please.
One of the other things the pups do, which I love, and when we were putting the program together was important to the airport, is all of the community events and partnerships that we do. So not only are we at LAX, but we work, we do Wellness Wednesdays with LMU, UCLA, USC, where we go when the schools are having events, especially during exam time. We help unstress the students so they can just like take a breath and take a beat before going back in and finishing their exams. We do the Westchester 4th of July parade.
Right.
Ronald McDonald House, Walk for Kids. We partnered with Make-A-Wish Foundation. We just did the youth program in downtown LA, which was a great event for families and just showcasing what different city departments do. So for me, I love that. It's just, you know, doing good work in the community and building those relationships. And we do Annenberg Pet Space, their summer camp.
Right. I remember knowing that now that you said that.
And it's so fun because last year when I was there, two of the kids at camp were like, oh my gosh, we met your dogs at the airport. And they remembered the dogs' names and they collected their trading cards. And that's just, I mean, I love it, right? That's just still making connections and relationships, which is so important.
It really is. And frankly, it's we're going to talk about this in just a moment, so I'll just get there in a second. But you had mentioned a little bit earlier, and I wanted to give you some time to talk about another program that you offer there, which is called the Elixedier program. Am I saying that properly, Elixedier?
LA Exceeders.
I'm sorry, LA Exceeder. Could you please tell us what that's all about?
So this is our junior volunteer program. Actually, my coworker Monique Bell, who just retired, came up with, because we wanted to bring in junior volunteers. And she took the same model as the volunteers at the booths, but for students, and especially trying to focus on kids who are interested in aviation. And they come in and they do the same training as the VIP volunteers. A lot of them are stationed in the booths, or sometimes we'll use them in different areas. Let's say there's a big event happening, or like with Coachella, where there are a lot of, you know, buses coming in and people coming in, where we would station them to help guide them where their transportation would come from. And it's a great way for students to be able to see how the airport works. Many of them have moved on after college and have come back and have gotten jobs at the airport or different airports in different states. So it's just, it's a great program that she started.
That's terrific. So the schools know about this?
They do. So we currently go when they're having events. They know the teachers or, you know, their principals will let them know if they're looking for community service opportunities, who we are. So we're really proud of that.
Oh, I bet. I bet you are. So we've talked about a lot of different volunteer opportunities. What do you think are some of the perks for volunteering at LAX?
One of the great perks is parking. so you get to park when you're volunteering, but after you've passed your 3-month probation, you can do vacation parking for up to 14 days. So that's a big plus for people.
Yeah.
And we also do recognition dinner, and we do lunches and fun little events in between, and anything that's going on at the airport, they're privy to and are invited to participate in. So, you know, they're part of the LAX family.
You bet. And let's face it, there's a lot coming up at LAX over the next few years. FIFA, I think, is coming up in 25, or is that 26?
I think it's 26.
Okay. And then the Olympics.
The Olympics. Yes, that's going to be huge. So there's a lot of stuff going on preparing for that internally and in the terminals, and, you know, the new, the people mover that is going to be finished and is going to be very helpful. So we're going to need a lot of volunteers.
I bet you are. And how do you recruit them?
Most of it is word of mouth and on the website or social media. But we have a, for our VIP volunteers, it's called Bring a Friend to Work with You.
Oh, nice.
So for anybody who's ever wondered what they do, they can bring them with them on a shift to see what it's all about. We do orientations multiple times a year. And it's, you know, if you like this type of busy environment, you'll love it, because it's, we always laugh, it is never the same. Every day is different.
Oh my goodness. So how many airports currently have similar programs to what you're offering at LAX?
Most airports have similar VIP programs. And as far as the PUP program goes, I've helped 91 airports.
Wow.
Nationally and internationally to start programs, which is awesome.
I guess. And internationally as well. That is really cool. I just put my hand over my heart. That must feel so gratifying to know that the purpose of this love that you have has spread so wide. I think it's just phenomenal. It must just be so gratifying for you.
It is. And it's just, you know, so all the other airports, they come up with their own name.
Uh-huh.
They own, you know, it's their program. When I first did this presentation at the symposium where the airports were, and it was like, what does this look like? Can you manage it? It's like, oh my gosh, no. I'll help you. I'll give you the materials. I'll walk you through everything. You know, I'll guide you. But you make it your own program. Name it whatever name you guys come up with, and, you know, brand it. So It's just really fun to see the growth in that. And I still, you know, Palm Springs is looking to start a program.
Oh, nice.
Newark, I'm working with them right now. So it's exciting that I just hope those numbers continue to grow until every airport has one.
Absolutely. That's really exciting. Whoever would have thought in 2013, 12 years ago, that something that started as your brainchild could have moved to such an enormous direction affecting so many millions of people. I think it's just phenomenal. I've been at the airport when the people have walked through with the service dogs, the therapy dogs, the pup dogs. And you do see sometimes, you don't know why somebody's at the airport. Maybe it is something very exciting, or maybe it's not. Or maybe you're by yourself and you've never traveled alone and you're really nervous, and nothing would make you feel more happy than to just pet a dog and just calm down a little bit. You know, I think that it's so far reaching, the rewards for this. And do you help these airports start these programs, or how do you do that?
I do. So I, like I said, I'll email them all of our materials. So the application, the fact sheet, our manual. And I just say to them, you know, don't reinvent the wheel, use what you can, put your name on it, change what you need to change.
Sure.
And, you know, let's make it happen.
So do you find that over the years that you've been doing this now, that volunteerism has changed a little bit for the, in either direction?
That's a great question, Marcia. I do. I feel like years ago, before all of social media was happening, you know, volunteerism, a lot of people wore it as a badge of honor and were very involved in their communities, no matter what that was.
Right.
And I feel like now, for whatever reason, people just seem so much busier. And you know, I'm not going to say I'm going to blame it on COVID, but it really did change things.
It did put a shift there, didn't it?
It put a shift. I mean, I know for us, we had a lot of volunteers that moved out of state in both programs to be closer to family. some volunteers were maybe at the age where they were ready to retire, and this just kind of made that an easier choice for them to do. But, you know, finding people to commit, because it's a commitment. We need you to be here, you know, for the VIPs, for your shift every single week, because people are traveling every single day.
Right.
We want the booths to be filled. And, you know, I understand that life happens and things happen. But I just, and I talked to the other airports too, and they all kind of feel the same way. It's shifted. And even the nonprofit groups that I know, you know, keeping volunteers and getting volunteers isn't as easy as it used to be.
And, you know, just as a total unrelated to this, but what a dog can mean to somebody, we've had these horrific fires.
Oh.
And I'm sure that people that have dogs or needed just the support of being around a dog. I realize we're not talking about an airport now, but animals can really affect our lives, can't they?
They can. You know, when the fires happened, we actually had the pups deployed with a couple other groups to the Rose Bowl where the firefighters were stationed.
Lovely.
For them. And I mean, these men and women, man, oh man, do I take my hat off to them. What they were going through, and they were so happy and grateful to see the dogs, and nobody was complaining.
Right.
Right? They had a job to do. They were, you know, in tents. They weren't living in luxury conditions.
Right.
Grabbing some food. You know, they had some, you know, great food and ice cream and, you know, just trying to do great things for them with makeshift showers. So to be able, it was an honor for us to be able to bring our dogs there for them.
I bet it was. I bet it was. And if people are listening and they live on the other side of the country, they could go to their airport. Is it, how would people that are interested in saying, gosh, you know what? I don't live by LAX, but this sounds like something I would really love to do. What would be the best way for them to get started? How would they do that?
So they could actually go on the airport where they would want to volunteer on their website and look to see if they have a program. They could reach out to me and I can look at my list to see, you know, what airport is there. I have a suspicion though, there might be other airports I'm not aware of, which is awesome that other airports have helped, right? It's like, you know, a lot of time has gone by and you've got new people coming on board and, you know, maybe somebody knows the person from the Philadelphia airport at another smaller airport in Philadelphia, and they've reached out to that airport for help. So, you know, I sometimes go, how many do we really have? So I know of 91, but I think we have more.
That's great. I will make certain that your website, when I post my blog about our show, that there is a link that people can learn more about that as well, which I think would be great. But you do have, we have a little bit more time, and you have something pretty darn exciting coming up, don't you?
I do. Ooh, drum roll, please. So one of my volunteers, Barry Rosenthal, is a documentarian. He has produced documentaries and films. Him and his dog, Chloe, are in the program. And he said to me, Heidi, we got to capture this. We've got to capture this on film. You know, what you, your volunteers, everything that is being done is important. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is a dream come true, because I've been approached by other people or television networks and nothing ever came through, which is fine. It wasn't meant to be. This was meant to be. So he shot a documentary on the pups and what we do. And it has been accepted to the Dances with Films Film Festival, which is at the Mann Chinese Theater. It's a whole week of great shorts and documentaries and films, full-length films, that goes on for a week. But we got accepted, and ours will be showing on Thursday, June 26th at 4:45 p.m. So I am still pinching myself. Because it's an incredible honor, and I can't wait. I just cannot wait.
No kidding. So I'm honestly, you'll have to excuse me because now I'm taking notes. So what this documentary is, what's the name of the documentary?
It's called A Pup Story.
A Pup Story. Okay. And it's going to actually be shown in a theater.
It is. So our day, there are, I believe, 5 documentaries. Ours is the first. And then anybody who gets a ticket, you can actually stay and watch all of the films, which is great. You know, we encourage that to, you know, see what else is out there and, you know, be there to support those filmmakers and all of the subjects that are in them. But yeah, so Thursday, June 26th at the Chinese Theater in Hollywood, there's plenty of underground parking, and I can actually send this information to you, Marcia, in
Please,
an email.
Do that, because I'll put that in my blog. But let me ask you this. So you live in Philadelphia. You're not going to be coming to the Chinese Theater on the 26th. Will this documentary be shown in other locations as well?
I hope so. That's what we are waiting to see, correct.
Got it. Wow, that was unexpected, wasn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, it is, it's so cool. It's just so cool.
And are you in it? I mean, are you featured in it?
I am.
Oh my gosh.
If somebody wanted to see what we do, yes. Barry captured that in 29 minutes. He did such a fantastic job.
Wow. I hope you're going to be on the local news about this, are you?
I would love, I hope so.
I could tell you that I had a connection, which I do not. But, you know, I think that when you have a passion, and clearly you have a passion, Heidi, for what you do and always have, whether it was when you're with this PUP program or the other organizations that you belong to prior to this. You've been giving your whole life, haven't you?
Yeah.
And you must have seen that growing up.
I did. You know, my mom, she always said, I hope you live a very long life, and I want you to be happy in everything that you do. Just do it. Don't say no. So, you know, I remember, you know, when I auditioned and made my first show, yes, Starlight Theater in Kansas City, and got my equity card, it was, you know, I love performing, and I just was blessed with that encouragement, and I guess also the drive to just not stop. Mm-hmm. And just making sure, I have been lucky. I've never done a job I didn't like.
Yes. A lot of people can't say that.
Yeah.
So, and to feel the satisfaction, and what you may never really know is just how many people you have affected that you haven't even heard about. Maybe it's the family member of somebody that was supported by the PUP program, and it was like, oh my gosh, when she finally got to town, I couldn't believe how relaxed she was. She was so nervous ahead of time, or he was so nervous, so they were so frightened, or whatever that might have been. And you may never know to the extent that you have affected people's lives, and people that may decide to go into a field that does things like what you do because they have been affected by what you've done.
What a great ripple effect, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely, because you know, listen, 10 years ago, I never would have thought I would be doing a podcast. And, you know, things happen for a reason. And when you find a purpose of something that brings you joy, and it should, if it's only stress and if there's no joy attached to it and there's no like, gosh, that felt really good, like having this conversation with you. You know, I tell people, you know, it's just like we're sitting at Starbucks. Okay, so I'm giving them the plug. We're just having a conversation. I don't interview anybody. I don't consider, and I know I would say most podcasters really consider what they do interviews. I just don't. I don't want it to feel and sound like I'm interviewing you. I want it to feel and sound like we are sitting together, that there are the dogs around us, that we're smiling and we're chuckling and we're enjoying ourselves together. And that, to me, brings me the satisfaction because, you know, you won't be my guest next week. Somebody else will. And I need to be able to have that same feeling of, oh, gosh, this was so much fun. I so enjoyed doing this because we're sharing this conversation together. And that does bring me a great deal of joy.
Well, and I'm so grateful that you have your podcast and you do it. I love listening when I can to, you know, people that you have on because it's interesting and learning who's doing what and what's going on out there. And, you know, I say I wish I had like 24 hours more to each day, right? Because, like, I want to be involved in so many other things.
I know.
Unfortunately, I can't, but to live vicariously through people who are doing things and learning about it and spreading that, right? It's like inevitably somebody will go, do you know somebody or this, that? And it's like, hold, please. Yes, I do.
Right. Because you know where I'm going to see you next is at the 4th of July parade. And, you know, you're always welcome to come to our Rotary Club. But you know, there's only so many hours of the day. So I just want to thank you for spending this hour with me today because I have thoroughly enjoyed spending my Monday with you, Heidi. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you so much, Marcia. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
All right, everybody. I'm going to let you all enjoy the rest of your beautiful Monday wherever you might be. I'm going to let Heidi get back to work because I'm sure her job is calling her. And I thank you all once again for joining me on the Born to Talk radio show. Bye for now, everybody.